welcome to the Badass Breastfeeding Podcast. This is Diane, your lactation consultant.
And this is Abby, the Badass Breastfeeder. And today's episode is brought to you by Rumble Tough. The Rumble Tough Breeze is a top-of-the-line breast pump with a rechargeable battery that fits in the palm of your hand. We will hear more from our sponsor later, but our sponsors make this podcast possible. So if you could please head to badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com and check out our sponsor page. If you need anything, see if you can give them any of your business. And while you're there, scroll down into your email address and we'll send these episodes straight to your inbox every week, every time we make one. And don't leave without checking our shop page. And we're on Patreon. We are having a really good time over there. So check the top link under the show notes, wherever you're listening from. And check out our tiers and see if you can come and join our community. We have mini podcasts, ad-free episodes, Zoom hangouts. We got one coming up. And we have our Revolution Parenting episodes going on. We have weekly wellness checks where people just like vent or ask advice or complain or whatever you want to do. I love it when people complain and they're just like, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. It's like literally why we did this.
I know.
Like literally why you're here. Yeah. And you're paying to be here. Like you do whatever you want. This is your place. We're here to listen.
Absolutely.
And we're still hosting our ongoing giveaway for anybody who leaves reviews around the internet, stars, written reviews, whatever app you're on. If you're able to leave a review, please do send a screenshot to us and we will send you a goodie bag of stickers and thank you for nursing in public cards. So just send all of that over to badassbreastfeedingpodcast@gmail.com. And we're going to be in Indianapolis on August 6th. So you can also check the top couple of links in this notes under wherever you're listening from for that link too. And we would love to meet you there. If you can make it to Indianapolis, we will have a table. I mean, yeah, Indianapolis. Sorry. I'm getting all the cities mixed up now. Indianapolis. Remember Detroit? I was like kept saying Cleveland because that was the last time we were there. Last time we did one of these was Cleveland. And I just kept saying Cleveland. I kept typing Cleveland. And I was like, oh my God, I hope I don't drive to Cleveland. Like, what if I drive to Cleveland and it's not there? I was so like panicking. God. I'm like, I can't get by my head.
Oh, man.
Where is everybody? all right. So Diane has our review of the week. I think.
Yes, I found this podcast during an incredibly hard part of my nursing journey as I'm exclusively pumping, but still hoping to eventually nurse. This podcast gave me so much evidence-based insight and made me realize how many ways my daughter and I were let down by the medical system when we started nursing. This podcast gives me hope to keep working and trying. It makes me feel validated as a breastfeeding mom, even though I'm only pumping. Thank you, Diane and Abby, for everything you do. Now, first of all, I chose this because we're talking about pumps today, and she is exclusively pumping, but the whole, I'm feeling validated as a breastfeeding mom, even though I'm only pumping. Oh my gosh. You are doing so much. That is so exclusively pumping is so much work and so dedicated, and you should like receive an award because that's amazing. So never feel like you're just only pumping.
I feel like people that exclusively pump are people that are just so well informed. Like they have so much, they're being empowered by like knowledge and information. Like, you know, I know all this stuff about breast milk. I know, you know, because I didn't know shit about breast milk. I don't know. I wanted to breastfeed. I don't know why. Yeah. I just wanted to. I just thought it was like cool. And that was, you know, what boobs are for. Fine. But I wasn't like, oh, you know, it's really important that you get breast milk, but I don't know and say any of that.
Yeah, that's how I was too. Like I have no idea.
And people who are going to go to that length to get breast milk for their child, like they know, like they have this information. They're making this informed decision to get breast milk to their baby. Like, I think that's really, I mean, it's just really cool.
It's amazing. Yeah. And that's a really good point that they are really informed because they want their baby to have the breast milk. And I think that's a really good way to think of it. So thank you so much for leaving that for us. And we think you're pretty amazing. Just saying.
If you couldn't tell.
Yeah. Just want you to know about that. And we've been wanting to do an episode on exclusive pumpers. And we're just not getting any info.
This is a good time to plug this right now, because we were actually supposed to be recording an episode on exclusive pumping. And the way, I don't know if you notice or but the way that we get the stories that we share, I just post on Facebook and Instagram, and people will either comment or send emails or whatever, and then we can share people's stories. Well, recently I posted something about exclusive pumpers and wanting to gather stories for that. And it was like crickets, which I realized that there's not a lot of exclusive pumpers. I get that. But I think there's some.
Yeah.
So it's just maybe not enough to actually see the post. So the point is if you are an exclusive pumper who is listening right now and you would be willing to share your story, then just type it up, type whatever you want us to know, whatever you think is, you know, whatever your story is in your words, and just email that to badassbreastfeedingpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And yeah,
you know, we would like just that. How you ended up doing that, what made you choose that, anything, like Abby said, just your story, what your journey looked like. We would love to know. If you want to share it, we would love to share it.
That also goes for single parents, because I recently posted this same thing with single parenting because of Victoria, who I'm going to talk about every day now because of Victoria's new friend, who had all these ideas. And she was like, she's single and not, you know, she was with her partner, the father of the baby. They were together, like, I don't know, briefly after the birth, and then they split up. So now she's parenting single. And yeah, so I was like, that's a really great idea. What a good story. I'll post that on the internet too. And again, there's probably not, you know, as many people or, you know, enough to comment to get the post really going and visible or whatever. It was how stupid social media algorithms work. Anyway, single parenting, exclusive pumping. If you have stories like that, please email them, because we would like to read them and talk about them on the podcast.
Yeah. And I think Victoria, like, she was like, I would love to know how other single parents do it. She's like, you know, because some days are hard. Like, I can't get a shower, or if I'm going somewhere, I have to like call my mom to come over and help me so that I can get ready to go and pack up the baby. And, you know, like just the logistics of all of it. And she was just like, I'd love to hear what other parents do too. So that's really, you know, what we were kind of going for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, thanks. Now we can talk about how pumps work.
So you guys, I found this cool article. Every once in a while, and I'm not saying that all the articles are bad, because some of them are really good. Some of the things I come across are like, oh my gosh, what is this? And then some of them are really good. And this one was a really good article from Health News. And I'm going to obviously link it in the show notes, because I'm not going to read the whole thing, but we're going to talk about some of it, because it talks about how pumps work. And it talks about choosing a pump, and, you know, just kind of like questions that might come up and, you know, and things like that. So it's, you know, it's, I think, very interesting. So how breast pumps work, and they're talking about how there's three types of pumps: battery powered, electric, and manual. So you've got, you know, your manual, that's kind of like your handheld, like a, you know, just a manual pump. And we always say, like, those are great to have.
Your hands. You have the little handle, and you wrap your hand around it and you squeeze it and you pump, pump, pump.
Yeah. And those are great to just have one, stick it in your bag, have it with you, you know, just they're just handy to have, sometimes have around.
Yeah. They're small, so, and they can fit in your bag, and like, they're nice to, some people exclusively use those.
Yeah.
Because they find that it's more effective, but I don't think that's most people.
No, I don't think it's about, every once in a while I'll hear that, but, you know, they're good. Like, some people keep it next to the bed and they might use that like during the night or something like that, but they're, you know, they're good. They're cheap. An electric pump, which obviously those are plugged into the wall, and then you've got your battery powered, which those are not plugged into the wall. They're, you know, powered by a battery. So, those are the three different types of pumps. It used to be, when I first started doing this, there was also a single electric. And I think they did away with those because they just weren't very efficient. People didn't want them, I don't think. So they stopped making them.
Because it just takes twice as long to pump.
Right, exactly. It takes twice as long to pump. So why do we need a single electric pump when you can just pump double? So it says, while each breast pump works differently, they're all designed to work like a baby would extract milk from the breast. All breast pumps have the same basic parts, including breast shields, which are your flanges, connectors, backflow protectors, and milk collection bottles. The breast shield, also known as a breast pump flange, sits on the breast, circling and creating a vacuum seal over the areola, which is the pigmented area that forms a ring around the nipple. And remember, everybody is different, right? Everybody is size different. Everybody is different shapes, which is why the flanges come in different sizes. So the flange that comes with the pump that you choose might not be the flange that you end up using. Just kind of keep that in mind. And it even says here, breast shields are often come in different sizes, and choosing the right one is important for experiencing an efficient, pain-free pumping session. The connectors secure the breast shield to the milk collection bottle. The breast pump valve sits below the breast shield, expanding and shrinking to create the suction that helps extract the milk. So that is like the little duck bills that are on some of the pumps, or they look like, we call them like little duck bills, or just a little like, just the smallest piece that will make you crazy if you forget it or lose it. Because they're so small and you don't even realize like that it has a purpose. But if you don't have it, your pump is not going to work. It helps create that suction. For some pumps, a membrane filter sits on top of the valve to help prevent milk from flowing into the breast pump motor area and to keep the milk sanitary. For others, a backflow protector part may be designed to attach to the connector. So now we're going to talk about hospital grade versus regular breast pumps. Did you know there was a difference between the hospital grade and the regular breast
pumps? Well, you always hear about like, oh, hospital grade, got a hospital grade pump. But I don't know if I really know what that means. Like, except so that it's just like super powerful. But then why would you, how do you really want it that powerful? I don't want it to like suck my boobs away.
Actually, it's not even just the power. They are usually more powerful. So hospital grade pumps are typically used in hospital settings. So like in NICUs and in, you know, mother baby units, obviously mother baby units, but NICUs, you know, they want to have very good pumps. They usually have stronger motors that allows the pump to extract milk more efficiently. But pumps that are used in the hospital are often designed for use with multiple users. So those are very special pumps where you can pass them around and just have new connection kits. So like, for example, you know, the pump is not going to be changed out. They might use that, the pump that you get to use in the hospital. Say you have a baby tomorrow, they bring you a pump to use in the hospital. They're going to give that pump to somebody else the next day. You know, they're going to pass that pump around, but everybody's going to have a new collection kit. And you can do that with those pumps because it's safe and it's not sharing any kind of bacteria or anything like that with
now that,
you know,
a closed system. Yeah, there's some pumps on the market that are closed system too,
right? Yep. So it says hospitals may use them to extract milk for babies born prematurely or with other unfortunate health issues. It may also be a good option for those struggling with a low milk supply. So because they are stronger and more efficient, sometimes we're like, okay, you know, you can, because you can rent those the majority of the time. The hospital, you know, there might be a hospital in your area or somebody in your area that rents breast pumps, and or maybe like a durable medical equipment supplier might rent breast pumps. They'll rent a hospital grade breast pump and you can rent the hospital grade pump, and they are stronger. So some people will do that instead of just using a regular pump because they're struggling with a milk supply problem. So I've had people do that, like when they go back to work, have a harder time, but they do better with a hospital grade pump. So sometimes they'll rent a pump instead. Now, this is interesting. It is important to note that the FDA does not recognize the term hospital grade. Many companies market pumps using the term to indicate the product is of high quality. Unfortunately, this marketing may lead to misunderstanding that a pump made for use in a hospital with more than one user is the best option for a personal use at home. Unless faced with special circumstances, such as a baby's health concern or milk supply issues, an FDA-certified pump designed for a single user will help most individuals establish and maintain their milk supply. So really what they're saying is, unless you have a very specialized situation, just a normal pump is fine. It's totally fine to, you know, to do that, to use just a regular pump.
And hospital grade doesn't necessarily mean hospital grade.
Exactly.
If it's sort of unregulated word, then
yeah,
anybody
it's kind of unregulated.
That.
Yeah.
It's like natural. So, it's natural, yeah. Made with natural products. Like that's not regulated or anything.
Right. People organic's not that. Regulated either, is it? Is organic?
I think
regulated?
Organic, yeah. Organic is like certified organic. Yeah. I mean, it's a certain, yeah.
I can get confused with the whole organic thing.
I know. I think if you're, I don't exactly know a lot about it either, but it doesn't matter. That's not what our podcast is about.
No. And we're talking about pumps. I just got off on a tangent.
Yeah, no, but you're right. There are a lot of words that aren't regulated. And we think because some are that like, and it's, then it's on the box and, or whatever, then it's there for a reason, but that's not true for all the words.
Yeah. So basically like look at a pump and we're going to get into like how to choose the pump that's best for you and stuff like that. But instead of going, oh, I'm going to look for a pump that says hospital grade on it, look for a pump that's got the qualities in it that you want. That's really the bottom line. That's kind of what they're saying here. Like, you know, the term hospital grade is just what they put out there to say, this is a really super efficient pump. But you don't need to have a hospital grade pump for everyday pump use. If that makes sense. Right.
Yeah.
Wow. So why don't we take a break and then we're going to talk about like more pump stuff.
We're going to take
pumps. We're going to talk about benefits and risks and choosing one and all that stuff.
Cool. And now we'll hear from one of our favorite pumps. If it suits your liking, we like it.
Suits your fancy.
Well, yeah, we'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by RumbleTough. The RumbleTough Breeze is a top-of-the-line breast pump with a rechargeable battery that fits in the palm of your hand. The powerful motor lasts over 2,000 hours and has a 2-year warranty. The memory button allows you to record your most effective pumping session and recall it every time you want. Combine the Breeze with the RumbleTough Go cups and you're pumping hands-free and on the go. Every RumbleTough pump user qualifies for free pumping support with an IBCLC. Because they care, each pump comes with a manual handle kit to convert your electric pump into a manual pump at no extra cost. You should not have to figure it out alone. Let the experts help you get the support you deserve. Additionally, every pump box includes a flange fit ruler so you can determine which of the 15 flange sizes they offer will fit you best. Because nipple size matters when it comes to pumps, check out their entire line at rumbletough.com. That's RumbleTuff.com. And use code BADASS for 20% off of your purchase. You can also apply for this pump through your insurance. And I know we're going to talk about that as well. But for now, you can head to badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com or look in the show notes under this episode, wherever you're listening from. And you can find the direct link for the for RumbleTuff and the promo code. And at badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com, you'll find all of our other episodes and information about scheduling your very own one-on-one online lactation consultation with Diane.
Hello again. We're going to talk more now. Hello again. So they're talking about benefits and risks, which I thought was kind of funny because I didn't think there was really risks to pumping. I know sometimes it could be a pain and people are like, oh my God, it's such a nuisance. I hate doing it. But I never thought of any risks. But the risks of using a pump that they have here are injury to the breast if it's not used properly.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's a really good point. And I know we've talked about this a lot, too, on the podcast at different times that, you know, don't put it up too high. Don't set the power setting too high for too long. Make sure that you're using the correct flange. Make sure you're placing it right. Sometimes if you're just kind of like slapping it on there, the nipple isn't centered inside the flange and it's going to pull on it and just pull the nipple in it in the wrong way. So you do have to kind of pay attention to what you're doing. Especially if you're just starting to use your breast pump, you want to make sure that the flanges are the right size. So it is worth it to have somebody help you with this piece if you're not sure. There's lots of ways to kind of, you know, look online and get information that way as well. Some people will ask in the hospital to say, well, this is what they, you know, this is how they sized me in the hospital. But I kind of feel like before your milk comes in and after your milk comes in might make a difference. I've definitely seen that. So if you're getting sized in the hospital and then you go home and you're having, you know, you're doing more pumping and it's uncomfortable, then it might be that that flange size is not the right size. So those are definitely, but those are really the only risks to pumping, that and the fact that you might come to hate it. That's, you know, but it's not, it's not like a bad thing. You know what I mean? Like it's something else to do. It can feel like a nuisance if it's something that you don't really want to do, but it's not like a bad thing. You know, you're not doing anything that's going to harm anything. And all the parts, that was the other thing. That's just like, which isn't a risk, but it's a nuisance, right? Like we know that that's kind of a nuisance is getting everything cleaned, and you can't really skip that part. Everything does need to be cleaned. Can't skip it because you don't want anything to happen to the milk, but it is kind of a nuisance, you know.
Yeah.
But there are some benefits to pumping, and that is to, you know, be able to get out. If you have to go back to work, if you're going somewhere, if you're doing something different, if you're going to be away from your baby for, you know, a set amount of time and you want to be able to leave milk for your baby, then there are they're absolutely an amazing tool to have. You know, we're really glad we have them for that reason, is to be able to supply that kind of flexibility to your schedule. I mean, what if we didn't have them, you know, and you had to go back to work, or, you know, you had to get away or something, you had to go somewhere. What would happen? You'd have to just use formula all the time, and nobody wants to do that. Plus, it helps you stay more comfortable because then you can get the milk out of the breast. Could you imagine if you didn't have pumps and you had to go back to work?
Ugh.
And you had to go 8 hours or whatever. I mean, you wouldn't be able to do it.
You'd have to wean. I mean, you'd have to dry.
Yeah, you'd have to wean. If we didn't have pumps, people wouldn't be able to do it. So choosing a breast pump, and this I think could be really overwhelming. Of course, when I was breastfeeding my kids, I mean, somebody gave me a pump and it was like a pump that she had used or whatever. And, you know, so she was like, here, you know, you can take my pump. And I didn't, thankfully, I wasn't going back to work, but, you know, I had twins, so I needed the help for them. With my first son, I only pumped a handful of times. I really didn't pump that much because I was with him most of the time, but it was just I had like a single pump, you know, it wasn't anything that was very elaborate. The pumps that are out there now, I don't know how people choose. There's so many.
I know. There's a lot. There's so many. And like, they really are like great. Like they have different things about them that are in the, and I guess that's why, you know, people love capitalism, right? Because people can just put things on the market and there's so many choices. And yeah, you can have the Rumble Tough that fits in the palm of your hand and you can convert it to a manual pump really easily just using the pump itself. And like, you know, you can even do hands-free if you just get the Go Cups, which I don't even know how much they are, but on Mother's Day, they were $1.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you have other pumps, you know, that have a completely different list of like awesome things that somebody that you just, yeah, I don't know how people choose.
It's crazy. Did you ever have a pump? Yeah, you had a pump because I know you said you pumped, right?
Well, I did. Yeah, I pumped and I just bought like, I don't even know if I bought it or someone bought it for me. I don't even know. I think it was like Medela.
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean, it was fine.
Yeah. I think that's what I had with the twins.
and then I was working on the blog. I worked a lot with Ardo and I got and I had one of those around, which I actually used a couple of times to like, I don't know, just used it a couple of times to just use it. And I got a clogged duct out with it one time too.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. And so I used that one, and that was a good pump too. And I don't know.
So when you're choosing a breast pump, there's lots of things to kind of consider, you know, and I try to talk about this a little bit when I do, like when I talk about pumps with families, usually like prenatally, because often when I see people, they obviously already have their pump. But if I do a prenatal class, sometimes they don't have one yet. It depends, you know, like insurance, especially if insurance is covering your pump, some insurances will let you get the pump before you have the baby, and some insurances will not. Some insurances want you to wait until you have the baby to get the pump. So it just depends on the process. I don't know why they're all so different, but I always tell people, like, consider what you're doing with the pump. Like, if you're not returning to work and you're only going to be pumping like here and there, then you don't need this elaborate pump with all the bells and whistles on it. But if you are returning to work, you want a good pump that's going to be efficient and that's going to last. You know, yes, you don't want something that's, you know.
And if you're pumping in an office, you want something that's really quiet. Mm-hmm. You know, something that's, yeah, I don't know. Right. Yeah, that's going to be really effective for like pumping like many times a day for a year or whatever.
Yeah. So for cost, obviously the manual pumps cost less than other types of pumps, which is why we say, you know what, they're easy to just kind of like have one around because they are so cheap. But, you know, they do cost much less, but it takes more time and effort and it's just not efficient. So it's not efficient to use a manual pump when you're returning to work. If that's all you have, then it'll work. But it's not the most efficient choice for multiple pumping sessions. For lifestyle, traditional electric pumps are large and, while often powerful, are not designed for mobility. So that is like those, some of those hospital grade pumps are bigger and harder to lug around. They tend to make them now like how the Rumble Tough is small. They're making them a lot lighter now and a lot easier to carry around. But for a while there, some of them were really clunky. So you might want to, you know, go and look at a bunch and feel them. And especially if you're going to be lugging it back and forth to work, you want one that's going to be a little bit lighter. So you might want to go and go to a durable medical equipment supply store and, you know, play with them a little bit. A lot of them will have some just out that you can touch and, you know, pick up and see how it feels for you. Using a traditional pump can work if you have a set location where you will use your pump. So if you're going to like leave it somewhere, you know, you've got a pump station set up downstairs in your house, for example, and it just, that's where it always stays and that's where you use your pump, then great. But like I said, if you're going to be moving around with it, then you might want something that's going to be a little bit lighter and easier to carry around. If you want to, that makes a difference between your electric pump and your battery operated pump. If you're somebody that's going to be taking a pump around to different places, you might want one that is battery operated and not electric. If you're not sure, where am I going to pump this, plug this in?
Yeah. I don't know if all pumps offer this now, but I know a lot will, you know, plug into the car charger.
Yeah.
A car adapter.
Yeah, some of them
will.
Whatever. Yeah.
And if you drive a lot, as if your job or whatever, that, you know, they're out there too.
Yeah. Yeah. Cleaning. You must carefully clean your breast pump parts to prevent harmful bacteria from entering your milk supply. This means taking apart the pump parts, washing and sanitizing them, allowing them to air dry before putting them back together. For pumps with tubing, any sign of condensation or liquid means it also must be cleaned. So you don't always need to clean your tubing. I do want to make that pretty clear. But if there is condensation in it, or if there is, looks like there is liquid backing into it or something like that, then you might want to replace it, because tubing is hard to clean. So I would say just replace the tubing if it gets like condensation in it. And the reason is, if it gets condensation in it, then it might start to get moldy. So, and it just doesn't work the same. So you're going to want to definitely change that out if you can. Some pumps may have fewer parts and be easier to clean than others. Another reason why actually going and looking at them to see what's what might make a huge difference. Or, I mean, even online, you can probably see all the different parts that, you know, that are on a pump that you're looking at. And if you're looking at a specific part and you're, or a specific pump and you're like, oh my gosh, this one has all these parts to it. I got to clean all this stuff. I don't know if that's for me. Then that's legit. You know, then look at something different. But if that, especially if that makes a big difference to you, if you're like, I want to keep things as simple as I absolutely possibly can, then maybe a pump with a lot of parts to it is not going to be your thing. Frequency of use and durability. If you rarely need to use the pump, your milk supply will be well established, or you plan to be away from your baby only occasionally, a manual pump or even learning to hand pump may be best. And what that is hand expressing. That's all. And we know that hand expressing is just as good. It gets out probably more milk than your hand pump is going to get. Hand expressing can be very, very effective. If you have a low milk supply or you plan to use your pump frequently, an electric pump may be a better option. Also, if you plan to use a breast pump for a few years for multiple babies, you may need to evaluate the durability of your pump. I always tell people get a new one with each baby if your insurance will cover it. And that is something that you do need to check with your insurance, because some insurances will only cover a new pump every 3 years. But some insurances say they'll cover a new pump with each baby. So it might be worth it to kind of make that determination before you pick a pump. If it's something that you're like, well, I know we're going to have another baby sooner rather than later, so I might want to, but my pump will only, they only cover a new pump every 3 or 4 years. So maybe you want to make sure you have one that's going to last. Sometimes I'll get people who like had a pump with their first baby and it's been like 3 or 4 years and they're like, well, it still works. I'm like, just get another one. Just get another one. Like, because yeah, the motors only have so much life, right? Like they're motorized pumps, and the motor, just like anything else with a motor, is going to lose its oomph after a while.
It's oomph.
So you might just, you know, and the last thing you want is to be using a pump and have it just die on you out of nowhere.
Or it's,
you
know, just like, yeah, it's just kind of like dying.
Dying, exactly. You know, I've heard
like,
some of those pumps.
It still turns on, it's fine, but it might
not. Like,
yeah, it's making lots of noises. Sounds like an airplane taking off.
Yeah, it's like it might not be the best pump. It is just like not working well. It's like, get a new one. Just get a new one. You know, you just, they just don't last forever. Sometimes people will be like, you know, oh, my friend gave me her pump, and I'll be like, how long did your friend use her pump? And if they say, oh, she used it for like a year, it was great. She said it was no problem. It worked really great for her. She pumped at work, you know, she used it at work and, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, that pump is probably going to die. You just, you know, you can't keep it forever.
Yeah, they can't make a pump that lasts forever.
No.
It's not. And it's not the kind of thing like a car motor that you can get serviced and have it, you know, last.
Yeah. So just, you know, plan on it being something that's just, you're going to have to replace after a little bit of time. Comfort. All breasts are different. There are a few sizes of breast shields to accommodate breasts of various sizes. You can determine the shield size you may need by measuring your nipple. Keep in mind that you may also need two different shield sizes, one for each breast. Be sure to review shield size options for your pump. That is something to look into as well. You want a pump that's going to give you lots of different options. You want to make sure that they're going to be easy for you to get. And if you need help with that, definitely contact a lactation consultant. And yes, you might need one, a different size for each breast. That is not uncommon. Nipples can be different sizes too. It says, breast pumps are convenient devices that allow nursing parents the flexibility to determine how and when their babies are provided breast milk. All breast pumps have the same basic parts, which must be cleaned thoroughly after each use to keep the breast milk and baby safe. When considering what type of breast pump to purchase, considering the cost, your lifestyle, cleaning needs, and your needs regarding frequency and ease of use will help you choose the best option for you. So then there are some frequently asked questions here. Are hospital grade breast pumps better than regular breast pumps? Not necessarily. Hospital grade is a phrase used to refer to the quality and efficiency of the types of pumps used in a hospital. However, it isn't a term recognized by the FDA, and most individuals can use an FDA approved single user pump and establish and maintain a good milk supply. So a single user pump, that does not mean a single breast pump, like a single pump. Mm-hmm. It means single user, one person. Which means you're not supposed to be passing those things around. So a lot of times people be like, oh, I have a pump, who wants it? You're really not supposed to be doing that if they're single user pumps. Will my insurance company pay for my breast pump? In some cases, yes. Insurance companies may cover all or part of the cost of your breast pump. So definitely find out from them for sure. Can I rent a breast pump instead of purchasing one? Yes. So if you are interested in looking in renting a pump, you can absolutely look into doing that. You can call your hospital that you're going to have your baby at or that you had your baby at, ask them if they rent pumps. Like I said, sometimes you'll find like a lactation consultant or in my area, there's a doula who rents pumps. So you might be able to find one that way as well. And that might be, you know, that might be what you need if you're like, I'm only going to need one for a short amount of time. I would rather just rent one and do that. And that's it. And this is one of the reasons why I really liked this article. Do I need to use a breast pump? No. If you plan to breastfeed, you can establish and maintain your milk supply by nursing your baby directly. Unless you consistently need or choose to be away from your baby for multiple feedings, many individuals will not need a breast pump. So, and we always say that on the podcast. I'm always afraid people aren't going to believe us that you do not need a pump to establish a milk supply.
Yeah.
You need a baby. You need your baby. But pumps are a really great thing to have if you're going to be separated from your baby or if you are separated from your baby and you want to leave milk for them. Then it's a great thing to have. If you're having milk supply problems, it's a super helpful thing to have. But if your supply is fine and you're just nursing your baby, do you need a breast pump to make sure that your supply stays where it is? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Just feed your baby. And that is it. And there was more to this article, but like I said, I wasn't going to read the entire thing. But I am going to link this into the show notes so that if anybody is interested in seeing any more of this stuff, you can read more of it. If you're looking for a pump or if you're, you know, just interested in knowing a little bit more about this stuff, but that's it.
Sweet. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.